So likelihood is we will see prime potentially as high as 6.45 by year end, which is pretty wild to think about.
You're listening to the Ottawa Real Estate Podcast with your hosts, Paul Stevenson, David Warren, and Greg Campbell. Let's see what's going on in the world of real estate today.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're back. Yeah. Party, baby. Party of three.
Party of three.
We got a full house.
Or a parade of
three. Aces over kings. We're back. It's the Ottawa Real Estate Podcast. And my name is Paul Stevenson. I'm here with Greg Campbell. I'm here with David Warren, and we love real estate in Ottawa. That's what we are here to talk about. Myself and David, we are mortgage agents. We handle financing. If you need a mortgage, holler at us. Greg Campbell is a realtor and a managing director at the Agency Ottawa. The agency.
I do it.
We are happy to have Dave back. Dave, you've been gone the last 2 weeks. Lots happening. There's blood in the street. What's happening? Tell us where you've been, what you know. Give us the inside scoop.
Last week I was at the National Mortgage Conference in Vancouver. I was there for just about a week. Was some interesting stuff, meeting with basically most all banks, all the different brokers from around the country and other broker owners. Was an interesting conference for sure. Obviously it had, people were excited to get back together. Since 2019, hasn't happened in person. And so people were pretty excited to get back together, but there was certainly a lot of talk around the market as a whole, what the Bank of Canada is doing, where the bonds are heading, what others are doing with their investments or with their property, how their business are going. And it was kind of a common sentiment across the country from different bank owners. I know a few C-level executives at a few different banks, and they were saying the same thing. A number of economists as well were presenting on it that the sentiment was is that the government and the Bank of Canada is looking for, as Paul put it earlier, blood in the streets. They realize that there's been overstimulus of financial stimulus over COVID coming out, employment too low, and inflation staying too high and not coming down, very quickly. Core inflation, as well, being rather high and not coming down. So the rise in interest rates is not going to stop anytime soon. And really, the kind of common forecast was that, over the next two rate hikes by the Bank of Canada, they will be hikes and not stagnant, and likely a full 1% by the end of the year. But out of the top economists that were there, basically that things would stay stagnant through 2023. And early 2024, we start to see the bonds and Bank of Canada lowering prime kind of in that end of 2023, beginning of 2024. Those that have variable, that's obviously good news that, in the short term, not good news. We'll have another hike this week. I guess this comes out on Tuesday. So this will be, when you hear this, it'll be tomorrow. Probably likely anywhere from 0.5% to 0.75%. And then likely either a half to another quarter in December announcement. But then, kind of leveling off for the remainder of 2023, unless inflation continues to rise, which, kind of seems from everyone I've spoken to, and we've talked about, going to the grocery store and seeing costs there, but they continue to go up. I think with most business loans, student lines of credit, mortgages, residential mortgages, this will have increased payments by around 60 to 70%. Mm-hmm. So certainly there's going to be a lot of hurting people, unfortunately, in the coming year. And there will not be any stimulus to help those that are hurting, other than the, really unfortunate. It's a very glum. It's a very glum, don't mean to start off your morning with this, but that was, it was kind of a mixed mixed sentiment. Everyone was, it was kind of weird. It was, everyone was excited to get back together and see each other's faces. And then, you know, the whole overshadowing topic and conversation was just about, just around that.
It's very kind of our country to do this to us. It's very kind. Being kind, and it, I mean, being kind, and then it all comes back to just pain in a different way, right?
Yeah.
We're going to help you, and we're going to break you down later.
Yeah, pretty much. So, you know, there, it's basically, you know, everyone, every banker and economist there, you know, recession and next year is foregone conclusion. But again, the positive out of that is that, you know, is to get inflation down. So, you know, get those cost of living down, but that it should only be lasting, you know, 10 to 12 months. And then, you know, rates start coming down on prime and targeting, I think it was 2.5% is the target for prime. Sorry, the overnight lending rate, I should say, from the Bank of Canada, which obviously prime is, you know, for bank prime slightly above that. But yeah, not wasn't too great, but yeah.
So, but the consensus was this tomorrow's hike, and then, or which would be today? No, yeah, Wednesday's hike, and then another one in December. And then that's kind of the cap.
To bring in Christmas, you know, bring our Christmas. Santa coal in December.
Lots of tangerines and coal in the stockings this year.
Yeah.
So likelihood is we will see prime potentially as high as 6.45 by year end, which is pretty wild to think about. We talked about this, Dave. I was saying, and I'm sure you're dealing with the same thing, but it's been increasingly challenging, even this past week, talking to clients, and you know, they're looking for my expert opinion on fixed versus variable, and it's like a near impossible landscape to navigate. Like, it's just, you know, short-term fixed, I actually was able to find one in the low fives, which was a steal, considering the current rates. But most, you know, most lenders, and I know we're going to see probably fixed rates go up this week as well. You know, we're looking at mid fives, high fives. You know, there's still some in kind of the, you know, mid to low fives, but generally speaking, that's going to be a thing of the past by week's end. So challenging conversations, but nonetheless, as you said, Greg, it's kind of it is what it is, and we just kind of have to put our head down for the next 12 months, and it will be, there'll be some challenging times ahead for many people, and it's just important to know, you know, what tools you have available to you, I guess, as well, to help navigate through those waters. And
yeah, and I mean, in the end, I mean, it's the cycle, right? It levels out.
Yeah,
it's just a little bit more aggressive than it's been in the past because of all the hype around, you know, what happened in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
So,
and I will say the, you know, to your point, Paul, of, you know, some struggle for the next 12 months is if you're either somebody that is looking or thinking about, you know, you're a home buyer or thinking about buying, and you're not sure about getting in, or you even have, you know, a mortgage right now, if you sense that you're going to be in trouble, whether that be with, you know, a credit card or line of credit payment or a mortgage payment or anything like that, you know, tackle it early. Don't just kind of turn a blind eye to it and let it snowball. You know, really get ahead of it. There are resources out there that you can, you know, and this isn't like consumer bros or bankruptcies or anything like that. But, you know, just don't let things, you know, snowball and kind of ruin your ability to either get a mortgage, get a house, you know, when you feel that the time is right for you, or that you miss payments on your mortgage. And then when you come up for renewal in the next few years, that bank is now not willing to renew you because you've missed mortgages. And then now you're not able to get with an A bank because you've missed mortgage payments and you're having to go to the B option. You know, speak to your bank, ask for, you know, maybe a payment deferral or, you know, something of that nature, reach out to a mortgage professional to figure out how you can kind of restructure things in order to, you know, there are other options out there. And even if it's just stretching out your amortization, even means a higher rate, slightly higher rate, but there are options out there. So just not to let things, you know, get away from yourself and kind of look at those, look at your own budget as well and look at those maybe subscriptions that you have on your credit card that you don't remember what exactly they're for. cancel those types of things. But
yeah, you always get the iTunes, $19. Like what? I don't know. I guess we'll just leave it. So a few articles I want to touch on today regarding exactly that. So the first one was regarding fixed rates. So this is from my favorite, Canadian Mortgage Trends. It says fixed rates are expected to take another step up next week, pushing some five-year fixed mortgages into 6% territory. Five-year fixed mortgages typically follow the Government of Canada five-year bond yield, as we've mentioned, which surged more than 40 basis points over the course of the week, briefly reaching a 14-year high on Friday before retracing some of the gains. Stephen, if you have the article there, there is actually a really good graph that shows kind of from August 2021 until today and kind of the increase of the Government of Canada five-year bond yield. And it says, why are bond yields rising? It says, according to Ryan Sims, a mortgage broker from the TMG, the mortgage group, and a former investment banker, markets are reacting to the recent inflation data that came out of Canada and the U.S. Both readings were above a level that central banks are comfortable with. Canada's consumer price index ticks down to 6.9% in September, which I'll touch on that in a second because I don't understand how it only came down 0.1, which was higher than expected while core inflation continued to climb. Meanwhile, inflation continued to accelerate south of the border, blah, blah, blah. Usually when we see an intraday move like we have today, it would signal to me that the top, at least for now, is in. I don't know what that means. But either way, bond yields are up, fixed rates are up. And the inflation, the Stats Canada kind of numbers for inflation in September was surprisingly higher than I think what a lot of people expected. I know, you know, not to poke around any conspiracies at all, because I mean it is the numbers are all there, but it seems wild that, you know, after a three quarter percent rate hike and, you know, massive hikes over the last few months, that inflation came down basically nil in September.
I think the biggest problem that they're having right now is over COVID, so much stimulus and savings by individuals not spending, that they have that cash and savings, and we're at historic low unemployment. So that's where, they were talking about this past weekend of actually wanting to get the unemployment rate up. So not actually keeping it down to where it is, because that's what's actually perpetuating inflation. So getting it, you know, actually having people lose their jobs so that people aren't spending and aren't driving that up. So I think you know, as people's savings start getting kind of deplenish and really just looking at it of, okay, maybe you have savings, but with everything else going on and that, you know, maybe they're holding back on taking that, like spending that extra where they would have just kept spending.
Damn Canadians and their savings. Can't have that.
Yeah.
Can't have that.
Got to keep
spending. Got to be struggling. Yeah. The other article I want to touch on, Bank Canada preview. So as we mentioned, rate hike coming, well, announcement coming Wednesday. Very high chance of a rate hike, which is funny because after the last one, everyone assumed that's it, right? I mean, I definitely thought that. I thought, you know, they were going to cut it off after that last rate hike. But it says, with interest rates now in restrictive territory and signs of economic weakness, the Bank of Canada is facing one of its most important decisions in this rate hike cycle. According to some, Canadian monetary policymakers have a major decision to make this week. Managing Director, in fact, it will be the most crucial deliberation of this rate hiking cycle so far. The Bank of Canada could certainly walk through the door without ruffling too many market feathers. Let's see here. So it says, if the Bank of Canada hikes 75 base points this week, then they probably have a terminal rate in mind that is in the ballpark of what the FOMC has guided for their 4.5 to 5%. It's hard to imagine after 75 basis point hike, they either stop or downshift to just a 25 basis points and then perhaps done. So that's basically exactly what you said, Dave. That was Scotiabank that made that comment. So, yeah, everyone, like when we look at all the kind of main banks and so on, their forecasts are all pretty much exactly that, like another, 75 to 100 basis points before the year, end of the year. So, yeah, so I think you said, Dave, the term was buckle up. I think for a lot of people, you know, if you have a mortgage, and again, this is going to impact everyone's qualifying again too, right? So everyone is pre-approved. Out shopping, you know, it's time to talk to your bank or your broker again, because those pre-approval amounts are going to decrease again due to qualifying rates. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see. There, you know, I think we're going to see, you know, we're all of our predictions for home prices for year end. I have to say that was, you know, I'll be the first to point out my own mistakes, but that was assuming that there wasn't going to be any other rate hikes. You know, with another rate hike coming, I think now I have to assume that we're probably going to see prices drop in the short term after this happens, because as we said, buying power is going to decrease. And then probably, you know, I'm going to have to push. I thought it was going to be spring. I'm going to have to push it now to fall. Next year, we'll see the prices come back and start to increase again. But I still think 2023 will probably see a 5% growth, you know, from January to December in prices. But I think in the short term, we're going to see a lot of opportunities for home buyers.
This the rest of the year into February is going to be very interesting to see. I currently have more listings than I've had at one time since I don't even remember when. I have, as of the end of this week, I will have 8 properties offered for sale. Usually I have 1 or 2 or none, because they just come and go very quickly. So, you know, there's a lot more of that. I think there's agents that have been in the business for a while have more listings, because a lot of sellers are looking for people that are a little bit more established to help them sell their properties, which is, you know, which I appreciate. I'm very grateful for that. But, and just navigating that and having these conversations is, it's interesting. Just as long as everyone's transparent and on the same page and knows what's up. Like, I've already had conversations with a couple of sellers saying, like, you know, they want to sell, but they understand that it might not happen. You know, we're priced fairly, but we're all very kind of like, let's go for it. And hopefully we'll find that buyer. If not, we're going to wait and see what happens in the new year. You know,
yep,
I've got one.
What's the reasoning for selling? Like, what's their, I mean, are they just selling to move within the city?
These are
upsizing,
or? The ones that are selling that are kind of like, it's not a big deal. Their properties are tenanted.
Okay.
They want to pull out because they're in a position where they're paying out of pocket slightly. Yeah. And it's not the end of the world, but at the same time, they'd rather just not do that. So they're, you know, it's kind of like, we're hopeful. Like, we're, you know, we're promoting it aggressively. But the one, I have one in Blackburn that had an open house that was basically lined up yesterday, which was amazing. My colleague Luca Merrick did it, and it was because of the price, because it's a big single family home, 4 bedrooms in Blackburn for $700,000, you know. So that's, but we still don't have an offer. It's been on since, I think it came on the market Friday, so we figured at that price, I mean, we're getting the traffic, but we still don't have an offer. I think there's a lot of people out shopping, it seems, but people are being very cautious about everything. Mm-hmm. You know, from what I'm seeing lately, and the rentals across the city are through the roof. I got a little stat on that for you guys. If anyone's interested,
let's hear it.
I think our listeners may be interested in that. So I just separated into a couple. I just did Orleans, then I did Kanata, Stittsville, Riverside South, Barrhaven. So the average price basically across the city is $2,500. $2,500 is what you're paying average. From stacked town, city attached home. So obviously there's a difference there, but that is the average rental cost for a property in Ottawa right now. What am I looking at here? In Riverside South Barrhaven, there are currently 60 rentals on the market. 60.
Wow.
Average days on market, 15. So people are renting, clearly. And then we have in Stittsville, Kanata, we have 36 listings. 17 days on market is the average. So it's the same right across. And then in Orleans, we have 30 rentals, 12 days on market is the average. But I mean, Barrhaven, Riverside South, 60.
That's for properties rent. For rent.
Properties for rent, 60 properties for rent in Barrhaven, Riverside South right now, the majority in Barrhaven. I mean, that's a lot. And that, I think that goes to show you how many people invested in properties during the pandemic, mm-hmm. right? Because you would never see that before. That's not all just like, you know, investors that have a bunch of properties. That's probably people that have one investment property. And they may have just closed on that in the last little bit, you know, this year. That's how I see it anyways.
Yeah, I've seen from appraisers and especially from commercial appraisers on multi-units of the rents having come up, the average rents coming up dramatically, even since June, which has been even on the like the peripheral areas in some cases that they're using. But I think we're going to see more of that. You know, if you're getting in the rental market, like looking to rent, the rents are going to like those are going to come up dramatically. Like, you know, you look at a house at, you know, a mortgage on a property that's $400,000, you know, 20% down, 320, you know, the mortgage is almost 1780, you know, so that's without property taxes or condo fees or anything like that. So, you know, you can't be expecting to pay in that 1800 mark and somebody buy it and look to be underwater so dramatically, mm-hmm. you know, rents, in my opinion, rents have to come up, but obviously it's unfortunate for renters, but at the same time, like you said, those people owning an individual home aren't looking to be underwater by $1,000 a month either.
No. So it's, I mean, you know, just got to pay attention to all these trends going on. You know, mm-hmm. I hope that everybody gets out of this okay. I mean, everybody gets out of it okay. I'm speaking like it's the housing pandemic. We're all in this together. All in this together.
2023. Yeah.
But you know what? Again, and we always say this on the show, this is happening. If there's a way for you to do something and you want to do it, just do it. There's people are still going to buy and sell. Everyone's just going to be a little bit more cautious about it. But if it makes sense, do it. If it doesn't, don't. I had a message from, I had a message from a listener. And he asked when we were going to go do a live Q&A again, or ask me anything. Mm. We should do that. I think we should probably do that next week. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Once these rates go up, I think that would be good for us to go live next Monday night if everybody's on board for that.
Well, probably not Halloween night. But
Not Halloween.
I don't think we'll have many people on. No, but
I won't be on actually. look at the calendar,
myself
Greg.
Included.
Greg, look at the calendar, Greg. Look at the calendar, Greg. It's Halloween.
Just say it.
On Monday.
Just say
it. Halloween.
A week from Monday. A week from next Monday.
Non-Halloween, Greg.
Yeah, you would think, you know, based on, everything we're saying makes sense, but you would think that with 60 rentals on the market that somebody would bend, right? And that you'd see, because of so much supply, that you'd see the prices maybe dip slightly. For rentals.
Yeah.
But the days on market, what did you say the days on market are though for those?
15.
15 days.
Yeah. 15 days on market is the average. I mean, there's some that are obviously ridiculously, you know, they've been on there forever. So, like, what do I have here?
To speak from my viewpoint, like if I'm an investor, I'd rather wait 3 weeks. I'd rather wait a month and a half to find a good tenant and to get the rent that I'm looking for so I'm not underwater on a property. Than ongoing, because that being underwater, you know, that short-term pain is worth it, because otherwise you're like signing leases and then you're stuck in that lease as far as what that rent is in perpetuity until they decide, you know, until they move out really. You know, you could do that, a CPI increase, but and then it also hurts the valuation on that property down the road. So I think people, you know, that 15 days to me isn't actually too long. I don't think.
No, it's not. And that surprises me. I thought it was going to be longer than that.
Especially with an average of like 2,500, like you said, it means they are moving just like, but you know, as all those 60 are probably individual homeowners that are having to carry that mortgage plus their own.
Let me just, I'm going to bring that up again, because I will mention that there are, so out of the 60 here, we've got about, you know, 20. Yeah, I've got 20 that have reduced the price in the last, 7 days. In the last 7 days.
A third of them, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, that's,
yeah,
that's something.
Yeah. I mean, it, regardless on the perching though, I know, I think like you said, Greg, if you want to do something, do it. I think it'll be a, you know, there continues to be good opportunities out there.
Absolutely.
You know, date the rate, marry the home, you know, stay in it short, you know, look at it. Like I said, rates are going to be elevated through 2023 and then start, you know, and this is coming from not just me. I'm just kind of the passing it along, but
the messenger,
Yeah. But that rates will start to come back down early 2024. So looking at it short term, yes, you might be getting into something where, you know, payments are slightly higher, but like Paul and I have been both been saying, you know, look at short term
fixed,
you know, 1, 2, 3 year fixed, or a variable as well. You know, might be scary because of the Bank of Canada increases. However, it gives you the flexibility to, you know, convert or change banks or lock into a, you know, to a different fixed term at a later date when rates start coming down. You're not, you know, real, there's not a high penalty to do so or anything like that. So just something to consider as opposed to locking in maybe at, you know, a 5 year term at 6%.
It sounds horrible.
Yeah, I mean, we're just not used to it. I mean, yeah. If you look historically, we're just not used to it, is all. But hopefully it'll be short-lived and, you know, and things will come back down. Anyway.
What a show.
All this gloomy, show. Should we get into something lighter?
Welcome to the
frig.
Economic collapse in housing podcast.
The housing pandemic show. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's a little bit much, but you know, you got to be optimistic. These things happen. It happens all across the world. It can't be, you know, everyone was struggling to buy a home when the rates were low, worried about prices going up. Now we're worried about prices going down and the cost of borrowing being too much. We're always worried. Everyone's worried about something.
Rollercoaster. Like
you just, yeah, exactly. Say what? You got to just, do it. You got to just do what you need to do for you and your family. Just figure it out.
The agency. Just do it.
Talk to the pros.
You should have the agency logo there, Greg. Just change the agency name to just do it. It's not trademarked.
Do this. Let's do this.
Do it. All right. Mood boosts. I think everyone needs them after this show. I got four today. They're all good. Number one. Last year, excuse me. Last year, I hit puberty. Last year, I went to Paris and tried to climb the tallest building. Unfortunately, I fell off. Number two, did you hear about the big Lego sale? People were lined up for blocks. Good one.
Yeah.
Number three, to the coffee in my hand, a couple of coffee beans were having a comedy show just between friends. It was a light roast. And last but not least, number four, what do you call it when only one Star Wars character gives you a round of applause? Han Solo.
Aye. Aye.
Han Solo.
Yes.
Han Solo.
Not bad. Not bad. Not bad. All pretty good.
Pretty good.
Those were all pretty good.
Pretty good. Yeah. Thank you to everyone listening. We appreciate you. And to show your appreciation for us, please subscribe and leave us a review, like, share, comment. We actually read all the comments. You want stats, let us know. You want a topic, let us know. And we'll be back next week, hopefully with a mild rate hike this week. And
not as depressing an episode.
Yeah, enjoy the week.
Enjoy, people. Be amazing. Continue to be amazing.
All right.
Deuces.
Thanks for tuning in, everyone. We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Please remember to like, share, comment, and subscribe because we'd really like that.